I'd like to begin this morning sharing with you some fascinating facts about your feet. Fascinating foot facts. 1/4 of all the bones in our body are located in our feet. There are 26 bones in each foot. That's 52 bones in our feet. There are also 33 joints, 19 muscles, 10 tendons, 103 ligaments in each foot. In a pair of feet, there are 250,000, what? Sweat glands that produce approximately 500 milliliter or of perspiration daily. That's approximately a cup a day. Now that evaporates in most of us. According to the American Podiatric Medical Association, the average person takes 8 to 10,000 steps each day on their feet. That covers several miles and adds up in an average normal lifespan to 115,000 miles, which comes out to more than 4 times the circumference of the earth. In other words, in an average life, the person walks around the world 4 times. That's a lot of use. Also, I read that your feet mirror your general health. Such conditions as arthritis, diabetes, nerve and circulatory disorders can show up their initial symptoms in the feet. Foot ailments can be your first sign of more serious medical problems. And women, you have 4 times more foot problems than men. Why is that? That's it. High heel shoes. They're not good. They're not good for your feet. 4 times more foot problems than men. Some people have big feet. Shaquille O'Neal, the former NBA star, is 7'1" tall. He weighs between 315 and 325 pounds, and he wears what size shoe? 22. That's big. And not only that, but he exerts 630 pounds of pressure with each step he takes. Fascinating foot facts. Now, what if I were to ask you this morning, right now, take your shoes off and your socks. Take your shoes off and your socks. You might not feel too comfortable with that. Well, unless you're from West Virginia, you already have your shoes off. There's a West Virginia right there. I see it. But if I were to say, take your shoes off, and I want you to show your feet to your neighbor right now. I want you to show them your feet. Or if you feel uncomfortable with that, just come forward, and I want to see your feet. No, you don't. Yeah, some of you would kind of feel uncomfortable with that because you have warts on your feet, you have calluses, you have bunions. Some of you have athlete's foot. Some of you have, your feet. Some of you don't think your feet are too lovely. And so you might have some trouble with just showing your feet and taking your shoes off. I'm not going to ask you to do that. Thank you. Yeah, I know. Thank you. You know, but our feet are marvelous inventions of God. They really are. Engineers, we've got some engineers here. What an engineering marvel the feet are. But one thing feet are not known for are their beauty. You know, I've never heard a guy say, "Did you see that girl? Wow, she had beautiful feet." I've never heard a guy say that. I've never heard a lady say, "Did you see that guy? What a stud muffin. What a beautiful feet he has." Never heard a woman say that. Because feet are not known for their beauty. They're just not. But do you know that God is concerned with our feet? Did you know that God wants his children to have beautiful feet? We read about it in our text this morning. Take your Bibles, open them up to Romans chapter 10. And in Romans 10, verse 14 through 21, there's a mention of beautiful feet. And I want you to see this in, as we read through in Romans 10, beginning in verse 14. It says, "How then shall they call upon him whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear unless there's a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things." However, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed our report? So faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." But I say, surely they've never heard, have they? Indeed they have. Their voice has gone out into all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, surely Israel didn't know. Did they? First Moses says, "I will make you jealous by that which is not a nation. By a nation without understanding will I anger you." And Isaiah is very bold and says, "I was found by those who did not seek me, and I became manifest to those who did not ask for me. But as for Israel," he says, "all day long I stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people." There you see in that text the mention of beautiful feet. And God wants us to have beautiful feet. What are beautiful feet like? I want to give you a description today, and I want you to take a look at your feet. Because God wants you to have beautiful feet. What are beautiful feet like? Number one, beautiful feet take good news to a lost world. Verses 14 and 15. Let me give you the context, remind us of the context here. Paul's been talking about the present rejection of Israel in chapter 10. Jesus Christ came to his own, and you remember the Jews stumbled over the stumbling stone. They rejected Christ and were striving for a righteousness of their own through the law. Paul reaffirms in chapter 10, verses 1 through 13, that the only righteousness which will get you to heaven is a God-given righteousness. It's not your own righteousness. Amen. In fact, our righteousness is like what? Filthy rags to God. That's the best I can do. God says that's filthy rags. It won't get us to heaven. The only righteousness that will get you from heaven is a God-given righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul tells or speaks of in verses 1 through 13. And then he says, but even though the Jews as a nation have rejected Christ, look what he says in verse 13. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Whether it's a Jew or a Gentile, whoever means whoever. whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. So yes, the nation of Israel has rejected, in the nation, as a nation, has rejected Messiah, but Jews or Gentiles who will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Now, in verses 14 and 15a, Paul gives us the process of salvation. He lists the process which leads to salvation, and he does it backwards. He starts with salvation, and then he lists the steps that lead to salvation, starting with salvation and going backwards. And he does that by asking four questions. He says, how can they call upon him in whom they've not believed? How can they believe in him whom they have not heard? How can they hear without a preacher? And how can they preach unless they're sent? Now, I want to do this. I want to flip-flop that. And I want to look with you at the process of salvation. And the first step in salvation is somebody has to go. Somebody has to be sent. You know, before someone can come to Christ, someone has to be sent to that person. And you know, the word sent in our text is the word from which we get our word apostle. Apostle, the literal translation of the word apostle, is a sent one. The apostles were sent ones. But do you know, folks, God has chosen to get his message out through people. And God has chosen not only to send the original apostles, but he has chosen to send each one of us. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, what? Even to the end of the age. That was not just given to the original apostles. How do we know? He says, I'm going to be with you in this all the way through the age. That's given to us. When God saves us, he doesn't take us to heaven. He sends us to the world. Someone's got to be sent. And we are sent ones. We're sent to this world. Then once someone is sent for salvation to take place, then you need somebody to preach. You need a preacher. And the word here for preach in verse 15 and preacher in verse 14, they come from the same word, and it basically means to herald a message. Somebody that comes and brings a message. Now that word preach or preacher is not limited to standing behind a pulpit and preaching. It's not. I mean, I herald a message from this pulpit. And I have been called into a role as a preacher. But we are all called to herald a message. We're all called. We're all sent. God left us here, sent us to the world, and we're all called to bring a message. Not only are we called, we have the privilege to bring a message to the world. So someone is sent, someone preaches, the next step in salvation is to hear. Now, we've got to tell them the message, and that's kind of where our responsibility maybe stops. Well, it doesn't stop there, but in a sense it does, because I can't make somebody hear. You know, when I preach, every Sunday when I preach, with some people, and probably we all do this at times, it goes right in this ear and what? Right out the other one. And if I were to ask some people out in the parking lot after the service, what was my sermon about? Was it in the New Testament? Yeah. Because it goes in one, out the other. And this is where the Holy Spirit's got to move in. And when a person hears the gospel, we need our role becomes a little different. You know what we need to do? We need to pray. Oh, God, give them ears that will hear not only with my ear, but a mind that will understand, because you can't understand it unless the Spirit works. Amen. And a heart that will believe. Will hear them not just with an ear, but hear them with the mind and hear them with the heart. So once we give once the message is given and the messenger prays for that one, oh Lord, let them hear. The next step is they've got to believe. They've got to believe. You remember the Philippian jailer? Remember he came to Paul and he said, oh, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. They've got to believe. You can hear it. You can understand it. I know people that I talk with and say, do you understand it? I understand it. Do you believe it? No, not yet. And that's a work of the Holy Spirit. And those people I pray for, Holy Spirit, give them faith. Help them not only to understand it, but to trust in Jesus Christ. Trust that Jesus died for their sins. Trust that he rose from the dead. Help them to put their faith in Christ. And then the next is to call on the name of the Lord. Someone sent, someone gives the message, someone hears it, they believe it, and then all who call on the name of the Lord. You know what that is? That's just faith in expression. Faith calling out, crying out to God, Lord, I believe, save my soul. It's just a prayer. That's the process of salvation, the process. And look at verse 15b, but what is the message we share? What's the good news? You see it there in 15b, just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. Now, that verse is a quote from the Old Testament. And that verse comes from two places in the Old Testament. It is found in Nahum chapter 1, verse 15, and it is found in Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7. Now, it's interesting. Linda and I are reading through the Minor Prophets in the morning, and we read through on Friday, we read through Nahum. So we saw that verse there in Nahum 1:15. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. You know what the good news was? The good news that Nahum was talking about was the destruction of the Assyrian Empire, the destruction of Nineveh, the enemies of God. The enemies of God. God was up with them, and destruction, they're going to be destroyed. And he says, when that person came and said, the enemies of God are going to be destroyed, oh, what beautiful feet they had. In Isaiah chapter 52, verse 7, the good news. That verse is there too. The good news is deliverance from captivity. Deliverance from captivity. Deliverance from bondage. The Assyrian captivity and the Babylonian captivity. God was going to deliver his people and give them finally peace. Now, Paul takes that verse out of the Old Testament, and the Holy Spirit directs him to use it here. How beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news. What's the good news here? The good news here is the gospel of Jesus. Listen to this. Jesus died for your sins, for our sins. He was buried. He rose again. And you know what he did? He conquered all our enemies. Amen. All of our enemies have been defeated and destroyed. He conquered sin on the cross. It is finished. He conquered the grave when he came out of the tomb. Oh, grave, where is thy victory? Oh, death, where is thy sting? He conquered death. He conquered the grave. He conquered sin. He conquered Satan. He came to destroy the works of the devil, and he did it. That's good news. Conquered hell. And we, through him, can be delivered from bondage and come out of captivity and have peace with God. That's good news. And that's the news that we can carry to the world. How beautiful are the feet of him who brings good news. Now the application. Tell you what. There are people here this morning, or there will be people that will hear a CD of this message, and you have never received Christ. Hear what the Spirit is saying. Hear him. This is for you. Good news. Jesus died for your sins. He rose from the dead. You can be saved this instant. Right now. Trust him. Call on him. Say, Lord, I don't understand it, but I know I need you. Amen. I call on you, and you will be saved. Praise God. Now, there are those here today that are saved. Do you realize you're sent? You know, God's favorite word to the non-Christian is come. Come unto me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. I'll give you rest. God's favorite word to the Christian? Go. You're sent. You are sent to your family. There are people in your family that need Jesus. You are sent to your neighborhood. There are neighbors around you that need Christ. You are sent to the machine shop where you work, to the school where you teach. You are sent. Do you have beautiful feet? See, because beautiful feet are feet that take the good news to a lost world. Now this is also, and I can go on for all kind of application on this. This is also a call to missions. This portion of scripture has been preached in a lot of mission conferences. And you know what? God needs missionaries. Now I know we're all missionaries in that sense that we're sent out. But God needs people to go to the lost around the world. And there are many missionaries today that are retiring. They're coming back. They're old. They can't continue on. And there's not people to replace those people. And God is still saying, I can hear him. Can you hear him? Who shall we send? Who will go for us? Friend, there's nothing you could invest your life in more that is more valuable than to go as a missionary. If you hear his call today, go. Go answer his call. You know, somebody says, well, why do we do missions? I mean, we can all support missions. Praise God, we give and we support missions. But why do we go? Why are we concerned about the world and missions? A veteran missionary by the name of Dr. E. Myers Harrison said there's four reasons why we've got to go. First of all, the command from above. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Mark 16:15. Then there's the cry from beneath. You remember the man that died and went to Hades? And he cried out, send somebody to my household to warn my brothers. There's the command from above. There's the cry from beneath in Luke 16:17. There's the call from without. You remember in Acts 16? Come over and help us. Come over and help us. And then there's the constraint from within. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. It's the love of Christ that constrains us. The command from above, the cry from beneath, the call from without, and the constraint from within motivates us. We've got to go. We've got to send. We've got to get missionaries. Some of you have time to invest. Some of you, maybe short-term mission. Some of you, God's calling to go. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. Beautiful feet take good news to a lost world. Secondly, beautiful feet are obedient feet that are not deterred by a negative response. Look down at verses 16 through 20. You see, in verse 16, folks, not all are going to respond positively. He says, however, they did not all heed the good news. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? You remember Isaiah. Do you remember Isaiah when God called him and he heard? Well, first of all, he saw the vision of the Lord. He saw the Lord high and holy, lifted up the train of his robe, filled the temple, and he saw the majesty of the Lord. He looked up and saw the Lord, and then he looked in and saw himself. You want to see what you're really like? Get your eyes on the Lord. Look at God, and then you see what you're like. And he looked up and saw the Lord. He looked inside, saw himself, said, woe is me. I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips among a people of unclean lips. And then he looked out, and he saw a lost world. And then he heard God say, who shall we send? Who will go for us? And Isaiah raised his hand. He said, Lord, I'll go. Here am I. Send me. And you know what the Lord told him? You read it. Isaiah 6. You know what the Lord said? You're going to go out, Isaiah, and you're going to preach, and people will hear, but they won't perceive. People will you'll preach, and people are going to reject what you say. They're not going to believe. You still want to go? The response, I say, is going to be negative. You still want to go? And Isaiah said, yes, I will. You know what? He had beautiful feet. In a Peanuts cartoon, Charlie Brown and Lioness are walking along together. And Lioness says, when I grow up, I think I'll be a great prophet. I'll speak profound truths, but no one will listen to me. Charlie Brown responds, if you know ahead of time that no one will listen to you, why speak? Lioness says, we prophets are stubborn. Yes. And it's a good question. If you know, I'm going to tell you, you go out and you tell people the gospel. I know some of you have talked to me. Pastor, I try to share where I work. And I tell you, people, sometimes they don't want to hear, or they're argumentative and negative response, and they just don't want anything. Why speak? I'll tell you why I speak. Because beautiful feet are obedient feet. And they're not deterred by a negative response. God, the response is not up to us. That's God. The obedience is to go and tell. And that's beautiful feet. Are those who are obedient feet. Now, many are going to make excuses just quickly here, verses 18 through 20. Paul, in these verses, plays the devil advocate. He poses several possible excuses to explain the rejection of the gospel by the Jews. Verse 18, he says, "But I say, surely, they never heard, have they?" Then he says, "Yeah, indeed they have." Then he answers with scripture. He says, their voice has gone out into all the earth, their words to the end of the earth. Through natural revelation, God has spoken to all men. He doesn't say here, but it is true, the Jews had even more than natural revelation. They had supernatural revelation. They had the word of God. They heard. And he makes another excuse, but well, surely they didn't know, did they? And he answers again with scripture. He quotes Moses and he quotes Isaiah. Both indicate that they did know. They knew and they rejected. That's why God turned to the Gentiles. But you know what? People will make excuses. They'll make excuses. But you know, we still must go. We still must go, folks. You know what? I don't care if they reject us or reject the word or if they make excuses, whatever. It doesn't matter. We have to go. You know why? Know why we have to go? Verse 17. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God or the word of Christ. That's why. People are not going to come to the Lord unless we share with them the word of Christ, the word about Christ, the good news. And you know what? It may be a negative response. Let me ask you a question. Now, I don't know this because I don't think I've ever asked this question to this congregation. I'm curious. How many of you heard the gospel about Jesus one time and you accepted Christ? Raise your hand. That people can do that. One time, you heard the gospel, maybe at a church service or at a camp, or somebody shared with you the four spiritual laws, and one time, you accepted Christ. Nobody? Well, that's possible. How many then have heard it many times and you accepted Christ? Oh. What if somebody would have just shared with you and you didn't receive it, or you acted negative and nobody shared with you again? Not good, huh? I can remember when back in the day when my girlfriend started to share Jesus with me. Never forget the day. I walk in. I don't know what's going on. I'm, non-suspecting at all. I walk in Petite Library. It's Joe Paterno Library right now. But it was called Petite Library. And I walk in, and there's my girlfriend, Linda, now my wife. But she was my girlfriend. I walked over, "Hi, Linda." Non-suspecting. I didn't know what she was going to do. "Hi, Linda." And I sat down, and she whips out this little yellow book. And she says, "Can I share this with you?" And I'm thinking, well, sure. She had been assigned at Campus Crusade for Christ meeting, "Don't come back until you share this booklet with somebody." And I was the guinea pig. I get to hear the four spiritual laws. And she's reading through this, and she read through it, and I'm thinking, what in the world is this? You know? But I let her read through it, and she was able to go back to Campus Crusade. But she kept on sharing with me about Jesus, kept on sharing with me about Christ. You know my response? I'm not proud of this, but I ridiculed her, didn't I? I ridiculed her, and I said, "Man, you got to be nuts. You're a religious fanatic. This is stupid. This is dumb." But I was a good pagan. I would take her to church and drop her off and come back afterwards and pick her up. And if the church went into overtime, boy, was I steamed. That's why I preach short sermons, so we always get on time here. But you know what? I am so glad that when I reacted like a jerk, she just didn't say, "Forget you. We've got to tell them. And keep on telling them. Why? Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Beautiful feet are obedient feet that are not deterred by a negative response. Thirdly, beautiful feet are motivated by the heart of God. Look at verse 21. This is a precious verse. Verse 21 reveals to us, folks, the heart of God toward Israel, and I believe toward all lost people. He says, but as for Israel, he says, all the day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and obstinate people. And I look at that verse, and you know, I see the heart of God. Do you see it there? I see that, first of all, God has a patient heart. He has a patient heart. It says all day long. God is long-suffering. God is patient when it comes to the lost. He's not willing that any should perish, but he wants all to come to repentance. Warren Wiersbe says in his commentary, all day long certainly refers to the present day of salvation, the day of grace. God patiently waits. I often wonder, God, I even say this to him, Lord Jesus, why aren't you returning? Why don't you come, Lord? He's patient. He's waiting. The heart of God is a patient heart when it comes to the lost. Also, we see that God has a loving heart. It says, I stretch out my hands. The word stretch out, it's only used here in the New Testament. It's only used one time in the New Testament, and it is here. It depicts God, listen, yearning for them. God yearning for the Jews. And one commentator says, God's love for the Gentiles does not change his love for the Jews. Jesus, folks, stretched out his arms on the cross to provide our salvation. Now God stretches out his arms all day long like this. Yearning for lost people to come to him. New Testament scholar Denny says the arms outstretched all the day long are the symbol of that incessant pleading love which Israel through all its history has consistently despised. His outstretched arms represent his incessant pleading love. Can't you see his heart? It's a patient heart. It's a loving heart. And it's also, God's heart is a gracious heart. Because look, he stretches out his arms to what kind of people? Nice people, good people, deserving people, right? No. To disobedient, obstinate, contrary and contradicting people, sinful and stiff-necked people. Verse 21 in the Message paraphrase reads like this, day after day after day, I beckoned Israel with open arms and I got nothing for my trouble but cold shoulders and icy stares. And yet God says, come, come. God continues to yearn with open, loving arms for the lost, patient, loving, gracious. Folks, that's the heart of God. And you know what happens? When this old heart right here is connected to the heart of God, you know what happens? A miracle happens. My feet are transformed into beautiful feet. motivated to tell somebody about Jesus. Now, folks, the person who wrote this letter, the Apostle Paul, we don't know what he looked like, but from some of the things he says in his letters and some of the things written in history, it doesn't appear that he was real good looking. It doesn't appear that he was some Hollywood glamour star. But now I'm going to tell you something. I know one thing about him. He had beautiful feet. He traveled thousands of miles to tell people about Jesus. He had beautiful feet. But you know, he didn't have the most beautiful feet. The one who had the most beautiful feet of all was Jesus. Jesus Christ had beautiful feet. Those were the feet that were washed by a harlot with her tears and kissed. His were the feet that were anointed by Mary. His were the feet that were rejected by his disciples and neglected in the upper room. His were the feet that walked up a hill called Calvary to a cross. His were the feet that were nailed to a cross for our sins. And folks, his are the feet that one day, when I get to heaven, and when you get to heaven, we're going to see him, and we're going to fall at those feet, and we're going to worship him. What beautiful feet. Beautiful feet take good news to a lost world. Beautiful feet are obedient feet that are not deterred by a negative response. And beautiful feet are motivated by the heart of God, by the heart of Jesus. How are your feet? Take off your spiritual shoes. Do you have beautiful feet? May God help us to have beautiful feet. Let's pray.